We're dealing with the topic of the mortification of sin. Or we could say dealing biblically with sin. What is sin? Where did it come from? Adam and Eve were in the garden. And God had instructed them clearly, precisely, do not eat of the fruit of this tree. For in the day that you eat, you will surely die. Stern warning, stern stipulation by God Himself to Adam and Eve. Do not eat of this tree. For in the day that you eat, you will surely die. Satan comes along and tempts them to disobey God. He deceives them. He lies to them. By the way, Satan is a master deceiver. How did he deceive them? He deceived them by putting a question mark where God put a period. Satan began to question God with Eve. And he said, did God say that? You mean he said that you would die? Putting a big question mark in her mind about what God had said. And then he goes further. Once he gets that doubt implanted in her mind, what's next? You won't die. A lie. Absolute lie. First, a question mark, doubt, followed by lie. And he still uses the same methods today. He questions the authority of God. He questions the existence of God. And then he tells lies. You won't die. And then he goes further and he says, he knows that in the day you eat, that you'll be like him. Can you imagine any grosser lie than that? That you can be like God by disobeying him. Why? Isn't that something? That's what Satan is propounding. He's still doing it today. In one way or another. Still using the same old tricks. They work. People fall for them. People deceive. It worked with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. Guess what? They died. Not on the spot. They died spiritually on the spot. Because God had been coming to the garden to interchange with them and interact with them. And when the next day came, guess what Adam and Eve did? They hid themselves. They were ashamed of their nakedness before God. Now, that's the origin of sin. Listen carefully. God deals with every individual that has ever existed from Adam and Eve to right now, today, as if there are only two men. Adam and Christ. Christ is referred to as the second Adam. And we won't have time to go into that. But let me repeat that. God deals with all men. As their being, either in Adam or in Christ. And dear ones, as you sit here this morning, whoever you are, you are either in Adam or you are in Christ. There's no third alternative. It's no wait and see. I'll think about it. And if you are in Adam, you're bound for eternity in hell if you drop dead in the next 2 seconds. It's over. If you're in Christ and you die before I finish this sermon, you'll be in heaven with Him for all of eternity. Now, what does this have to do with mortification of sin? It has a lot to do with it. Because, listen to this very, very carefully. If you are in Adam, you have absolutely nothing at your disposal to fight successfully against sin. You're under sin's control. You're under Satan's control. You may wiggle and squirm and give the appearance that things are improving. And I took a self-help class and I did nothing. If you are in Adam and drop dead at the next heartbeat, hell is your destiny. For eternity. Not a month or 6 months. For all of eternity, never, never, never ending. That's Bible truth. If you're in Christ, immediately you go to be with Him in heaven. For all eternity. Do you know how long eternity is? It's forever. Do you know how long forever is? It's never ending. Ever. Ever. A million years. Trillion years. 1,700 billion trillion years. As if it had never started. That's eternity. And people today are gambling their souls on good luck or everything will be okay. What about sin? You, every individual ever born in this world, with the exception of Christ Himself, was born a sinner. Cute little baby. Innocent little baby. Not innocent. Oh, innocent in the fact that it hasn't grown up and experienced physically and as a young person or an adult. There's a certain form of innocence. But that child is born guilty of Adam's sin. A sinner. And if he dies a sinner, he goes to hell. For all eternity. Now, what about this little sinner? I've used the illustration many times. I use it again, no apologies. Because it makes my point. You don't have to teach a child to lose its temper. You don't have to say, Johnny, come over here. Dad's going to teach you how to have a temper fit. This is the way you do it. You fall down on the floor, you scream and you kick your feet. Now, Johnny, let me show you how to do it. I'm going to do, have a fit so you can learn how to have a fit. Johnny knows how to have a fit. You don't have to teach him. You don't have to say, Johnny, come over here, son. Dad's going to teach you how to lie. Now, this is the way you lie. He's a sinner. Born a sinner. With a nature to sin. And unless there is some control and some discipline and some training and pointing him to God, he'll grow up and spend probably half of his life in a penitentiary. I work with 20 of them. Some of them. Life with no parole. I'm working with men who have been in prison 30, 40. I'm working with a man that's in prison serving 2 life sentences plus 99 years. He'll die there. He knows Christ. He's read through the Bible more times than you probably would ever think possible. He lives in one of the prisons in North Carolina. We were holding our jail ministry on a Monday night. We were getting ready to leave. My deacon said to me, this man wrote his name on a piece of paper and handed it to me. I don't know why. I looked at it, it says, Jose Medrano. I said, well, I speak Spanish. I'll go back and talk to him. I said, you write your name on this paper? He said, yes, sir. I said, why did you do that? He said, I need help. I said, well, if you mean money, we don't do that. I said, but if you mean spiritual help, maybe we can help you. He said, that's what I want. And today, he has read through the Bible more times than you can imagine. He has a tablet. He copies Matthew Henry's commentary, sends me a portion of it with the commentary so that I can read it and communicate back with him some extra applications. He's a godly man. But he will die in prison. What? Why will he die in prison? Because of the consequences of sin. Sin. Well, this little child that's just been born, not that innocent little babe, he's a sinner. And unless he is disciplined and controlled and trained, that sin will grow worse and worse and worse faster than you can imagine. I used to own a Christian bookstore in Moxahatchee. had a greeting card display. I've had parents come in with children who could rearrange my bookstore in 10 minutes. And on one occasion, there were two little girls came in. They were about this tall. And they walked right over to the greeting card section, and they started picking up the greeting cards, handfuls at a time, and throwing them in the floor. Just what Mom did.
Now, don't do that. That's not nice.
I thought to myself, you need to take them out back and wear them out good.
Amen.
Because you're going to send them on a fast track to hell by failing to discipline them.
Amen.
And you say, Pastor, why do you get so excited about sin? Why read John Owen? Because John Owen was a Puritan who wrote on the mortification of sin, probably the masterpiece on that topic that's ever been written. Because sin is deceitful. Sin will harden you. I had the opportunity and the privilege and the blessing of being raised in a Christian home. My parents were Christians. Manuela and Dora, my mom. Knew my mom. My mom wanted to be a missionary to Mexico. On her own, learned Spanish. Couldn't go there because of her health. She said, I want to go out to West Dallas and I want to start a children's Bible club. And Dad and I helped her. And we bought a little two-room house. And we went up and down the unpaved streets. Two-room houses. And invited children to come to the Bible club. And it wasn't long until some of the parents began to attend and to sit in on her teaching the Bible stories. And somebody said, can't we have a church? And I was graduating from high school. I had already begun thinking of the ministry and training somewhat. And I began preaching. I had a Christian home. And early on, my parents trained me in God's Word. Early on, my parents disciplined me. I think I will tell you this, just to illustrate my point. When I was about so big, I had been up at my granddad's. They lived in West Texas on a farm. They spoiled me. And I came home, and my mom said, Lester, do this. I said, I don't have to mind you. Whoa. That was the wrong thing to say. Because I got a whooping like you would never believe. I thought she was going to kill me. And when she finished, she says, now do you have to mind me? I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. When I was about so big, there was a grocery store. Mom sent me there to on an errand to get something. And as I walked by the produce department, I saw some plums that were so delicious looking. I mean, just right. I picked up one of those and stuck it in my pocket. I paid for the other goods, left, got about two blocks from the store, and my conscience bothering me so much, I turned around and walked back to the store and put the plum back where I got it. I had a conscience that was being instilled and built in me through proper training and discipline. Because if I had not had that conscience and it had not bothered me and I had not gone back, I would have gone home with that plum. And the next time it would have been something else. And the next time something else, maybe a watch. Who knows? Because sin deceives and because sin hardens, that's why. So what are we going to do about it? Anything? John Owen says we need to kill it. God says we need to kill it. If therefore you are living after the flesh, you will die. But, if by the Spirit you are mortifying the deeds of the body, sin, you will live. You will live in this world and in this life and in the life to come for all of eternity as a consequence of taking sin seriously and dealing with it as God says it needs to be dealt with in the Scriptures. And if God ever blesses you with children, may God help you to raise them in a Christian home with biblical training and discipline. Because if you don't, I guarantee you the day will come when you will be looking in the eyes of a teenager that will give you the deepest sorrow and heartache you've ever known in your whole life. I can promise you that. Should we take it seriously? Yes. Yes. More than we ever realize. Well, our time is up. That's not what I had in my notes. May God be pleased to use it to awaken us, to shock us into reality of the reality of sin, and cause Him to make you think about your own. The Bible says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you know what wages are? You work for wages. You work for salary. You get paid a salary, a wage, for working. Does anybody know what a gift is? Church was able to give Jonathan and Miranda a gift. They didn't pay for it. It was free. The wages of sin is death. And any time you sin and don't deal biblically with it, something dies in you. It's always death. But the gift of God is a life, is life. Not just physical, spiritual. Now and for all of eternity. Next week, we're going to continue to take sin seriously. We're going to see what the Ten Commandments has to do with sin. There's a lot of people who would like to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Come back next Sunday. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we look to you now for your blessing upon your word. Use it to accomplish your purpose, your will, your plan in our lives today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.